Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Dot online. Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Process Stories here. Today is March 3rd, 2021.
The title of today's show is...
Oh, I wrote down the title. Okay. Interval meters and time. It's a little corny giving these things a title before I even start, because I don't know what I'm going to talk about.
The show's episode number is...
This is episode 20, everybody. All right. Without boring you guys too much, I'm going to talk a little bit about the journey of motion picture film quality and the destruction of knowledge that it's left in its wake. How about that? That's actually a pretty sore subject for myself. I guess that's why I'm going to talk about it. But I kind of picked the scab today, or I shouldn't look on it negatively, but it really is kind of nuts just how much knowledge I have and have earned the right to have and talk about that is just utterly useless, literally just totally useless now. There are some aspects that aren't, but for the most part, there's just a truckload of useless, unwanted, unneeded knowledge that at one point, not too long ago, was super duper important. It's wild. I mean, if I went back to film school today, if someone today went to the film school I went to in 2003, okay, 80% of the stuff that you learned at that school would be superfluous today. Nuts. Unless your course, you're planning to shoot on motion picture film, and then very much of what I know would come into play. I mean, there was a point in time where I was processing my own film, black and white, in buckets, literally in buckets on the ground, cutting it, knowing where to cut a frame in the dark, or using like a red light. Just like you see in the old movies, you know? I was like ordering potassium dichromate from Photographer's Formulary before September 11th, when you could order dangerous chemicals. And they would be shipped, not obviously just like, you know, thrown, like not like they just unibombered over to you in the USPS, but there would be a protocol but shipping it. But now there's no way I could order like, developer dust from Kodak, not without some sort of like, some sort of government stamp, which would be, impossible to get. I mean, I just went to try to get a post office box two days ago. It took me 2 days to get it because I just needed like a full rectal probe at the post office, 11101 here in Long Island City. By the way, I got a post office box. If anybody wants to send me something, I mean, I will write you back. At this point, I am like, it'll be fun. The post office box is 1262 Long Island City, New York, zip code 11101. That's 1262 Long Island City, New York, 11101, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
So, Yeah.
The weather is...
Oh, sorry. The weather was like 47 degrees and sunny today. I actually wore a t-shirt like an idiot. I was good for a while, but then when the sun started dipping, I was like, oh, God, I am way underdressed. I made a bunch of t-shirts, and those are available on the website. If my website's not up yet, then God help me. I've spent the last few days shooting product shots of those, and I have a significant amount of them at home for immediate shipping, and then I've got storage of the lot of extra or whatever extra stock. And in going to my storage unit, I discovered all these 16 millimeter film camera, motion picture cameras that I owned, not a bunch of them, a couple, and some sweet lenses with the C mount and the BNC mount, which is actually called a PL mount, Paul Lewis. I don't know if it's named after anyone named Paul Lewis, but it was like this different kind of way of doing things, shooting film, and just the kind of love you have to have for cameras and film in order to, I mean, now that I look back, especially today, holding these cameras and spooling up with some slug footage that I had, just spooling them up to see if they worked and all that stuff. And I've instantly remembered how to do everything. I had a Bolex EBM, which I never spent the time to get going because I was going to convert it to Super 16. And then like that was right when film kind of officially just became obsolete. So it's just like, it's nuts. It's just this. I've just got so much information that I learned over time that it's just useless now. Just utterly useless. Yeah, I was just like cracked open this Bolex, and I basically gave all my film stuff to. Let me say this correctly. Every film camera I've ever owned, I've never sold a film camera. I've only given them to people who wanted them more than me. And along the way, things have been given to me in the same fashion, much like a good book, like you pass it on, just because you don't. It seems like nobody will, I don't know. Some of these cameras are worth like thousands on eBay, but I don't know. I think the people buying these cameras on eBay are maybe just, I don't know, maybe collecting them like art or something. Let me put it this way. These Bolex cameras that I have, they shoot 100-foot loads of film, 100-foot strips of film that are on a roll about the size of a donut. And 100 feet at 24 frames a second gives you, I don't have a drum roll effect. Where's my drum roll effect?
Is this a 5 o'clock free crack giveaway?
That's not it. That's not it. Okay.
I usually do not do request numbers unless, of course, I have been asked to do so.
That's not it either. These film, 100 feet of 16 millimeter film, at 24 frames a second, 40 frames per foot, comes out to, drum roll, 2 minutes and 45 seconds of footage played in real time. So just think about that. Next time you do a 2 minute, 45 second video on your phone, if you had shot that on 16 millimeter film, you would have to pay $40 for the film, raw. Then you'd have to expose it and shoot it with a camera that, at least in around 2003 or 4, you could get a good Rex 4 camera for around like $1,000. And that was a negative. Typically, that was a negative. They did do reversal film, but of course, if you shot reversal, then you would get that process. And if you put that through the projector, you'd be running the risk of destroying the original document, because a reversal was what went through the camera is what you projected, where negative, you would make a print from it. So let's say you shot negative like most people from Kodak. You get a 100-foot roll. It was like $45. about 15 years ago. Probably more, probably like $70 now. And then you would have to load it into the camera in the dark. You could not see what you were doing. If you run the risk of exposing the film if you turn the lights on, or if you have even the lights dim, or even the red light, depending on how fast the film was. So you'd have to know your camera intimately, being that you'd had practiced with film that was already just, you know, slug. You'd have to load it correctly, and then you would have to shoot it with enough light. You'd have to expose the film correctly, meaning basically you just could not shoot after sunset. And if you shot indoors, you better have a lot of light, or some really fast film. And at the end there, they were putting out some really fast film, but obviously fast film doesn't look as good. And then, you know, you had to have a light meter. You'd have to hold it up to somebody's face or whatever you're filming, or use the spot meter and then expose the film correctly. So you'd also have to know what you were doing. Then it would have to be in focus. And then you actually have to be like, okay, when I turn my camera on here, I've got 2.5 minutes of footage. What do I want to make? And then you'd have to pay another $50 to have it developed and printed. And if you wanted to have it transferred, sometimes people would just get the negative developed at the end there and have it transferred to video. They would have it transferred to HD ProRes QuickTime 422, which is like the best you could do. And that the best quality of film at that time, when you transfer it, was basically what we would call 2K footage now, 1920 by 1080. It was a little bigger than that. And if your camera shot Super 16, which it didn't, okay, nobody had, the Bolexes that had Super 16 capabilities had to be modified. And the only ones that you could modify were the SBM and the EBM, because they had the PL mount, which is a bayonet mount for the lens. The normal Bolex cameras, the Rex 4 being the one that you should own. If you ever want to buy a Bolex, get the Bolex Rex 4. That one will work forever on the moon. Amazing camera, as long as you take care of it. But those were all C mount, and you need to be able to slide the gate over that whatever 33% more to get the full frame to line up with the film gate. You guys bored yet?
The time is...
we're already about 10 minutes in here. Anyway, I was cruising through all that stuff, and I had all these external motors that were, like, these things were just created because they were needed. Meaning, necessity was the mother of invention, and these things needed to be inventive. There was this guy, JK, everyone called him, who was out of Oakland, and was just basically out of his like little garage and machine shop, was making all these modifications and interval motors that would drive the Bolex in a stop motion animated kind of way, so that you could program it, point it at where the sun was going to come up, get out there before the sun came up, point it at where the sun was going to come up, program it, and it would shoot like 2 frames, click, 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 every, you know, 10 seconds, click, 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 and then it would wait, and then it would just do that very evenly, and then you would have this beautiful stop motion that you spent 6 hours, or whatever, 4 hours getting on your camera roll, and it would be this beautiful thing. Now you can just set your phone up like an ass, and it's just ridiculous what you can do now. The fact that people can complain at all about the power of the tools they have is just like, it's kind of mind boggling. But then again, you know, I sound like an old man. Oh, I remember when it was an ice box, not a refrigerator. I remember I used to develop, you know, I used to bring the milk and leave it on the, you know. But that isn't fair, actually, because if you look at footage, if the speed in which that the video has gone from kind of passable as a home kind of tool to full on, full out the best you can do on all fronts, destroying the all film, actual film make, celluloid, the speed by which it has gone from a hobbyist medium to the ubiquitousness that is everywhere. And you can watch video streaming it now. I mean, there was a point in time not too long ago where the idea of sending somebody a video was absurd, just preposterous. Like, not even like 10 years ago, preposterous. Someone would send you by email a video. You could send the links and stuff like that around them, but it was like right around like a 2006 and 7, I think YouTube started really taking off. I remember having the original Instagram, the original logo that looked like a TV set from, you know, I Dream of Genie or something. Anyway, so I handed all these cameras off to my good friend Nicolas Di Miranda, who's built his own machine shop, and he's been modifying lenses for his digital cameras, and it's just brilliant. I brought those over there, and I was kind of nostalgic, and I hung out with him for a while, just talking about all the cameras and all the stuff, and he knows I know, but it's literally knowledge that has no use to anybody anymore. If you guys want to talk film cameras, I mean, yeah, big sigh. Big sigh. I mean, I remember when I went to, when I was making my film, Keep the Home Fires Burning, it was like 2008. This was an optically printed film that I had made that was up-res to 35 millimeter. With a stereo optical soundtrack burned in. I didn't have enough money for Dolby DTS, which was just like fucking stereo. Sorry. It was a stereo optical soundtrack. Anyway, I remember going to this film lab, and I was talking with a guy who did the original opticals on Jaws, on Oxbury, bipacked, okay? He was doing bipacking, because Spielberg used to have all his films bipacked, photographed. And he had a Hawaiian shirt on. And then when I noticed, all of the optical department was wearing a Hawaiian shirt. And I asked him, I said, why are you guys all wearing a Hawaiian shirt? And he said, well, we're all about to be forced to retire, so we're doing it early. I was just like, my God, man. But you know what? Like... Yeah, it was only like 2004 where Netflix was coming out. Netflix was DVDs through the mail, and it had just torpedoed Blockbuster. It was just the greatest thing. Oh my God. I don't even have to get in the car and go to the store anymore to get a rental. God, I have been yapping forever. This is just going to be a mega podcast here, or a process story here, everybody. March 3rd. 2021. Today's my brother Matthew's birthday, and so I'm going to play one of his songs here. Hopefully, if there's copyright issues, and I may not be able to attach it to the show because I'm not sure yet about the podcast and whether I can put up copyrighted stuff. I kind of think I can, and then they'll just take it down. I mean, he's my brother. He'll give me the permission, but then I'll have to find him and get him to sign something and prove to whatever the powers that be that hold the switches that I have rights to it. But this is a song by my younger brother, Matthew O'Toole, whose birthday it is today. He lives in Seattle, and he and another fella own a venue, a music venue, called Tim's Tavern. You should check it out on 105th Street in North Seattle, Green Lake, around there. Here's a song of his, so happy birthday to him, and thanks for tuning in, everybody. The robot's going to tell you what to do, or tell you where to go in a second here, as soon as I find the thing.
Please share the show on social media.
Wow, that was it. Okay, bye for now.
Thank you. to Atlanta, going there to see my good friends. Lord, they live in town. Going to Alaska, days and nights are long and short of them all. Lord, the days are short. I can see for longer than a country mile.